It's my pleasure to introduce a recent colleague and a tremendous addition to our staff in Or Sameach, Rabbi Yitzhak Breidowitz, who will be discussing the topic of the importance of tefillah in Kiruv. Rabbi Breidowitz.
Yeah, thank you, Rabbi Lazarus. At first glance, the topic may seem to be a little bit perplexing. This is a seminar, after all, for Kiruv. It's designed to highlight the tremendously good work and important work that Or LaGola does, and I hope that everyone will consider possible participation in the program if they're in that parsha. But the truth of the matter is the importance of tefillah to the work of Kiruv Rechaikim finds its expression in a number of pratim. First of all, we need tefillah for hatzlacha in anything that we do. Any endeavor that we engage in, learning, avodas Hashem, parnasa, one can have no hatzlacha in life whatsoever unless they learn how to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with sincere tefillah and avodah shebelev. And certainly in Kiruv Rechaikim, where we hope, when we're at our best, we're zochet to be emissaries and shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person lives with the illusion of pride that they are responsible for what they've done, they are the source of their success, it is their charisma, their Torah knowledge that is changing people, without recognizing that all Hatzlacha comes from Hashem, by definition, their endeavors are doomed to fail. So on one basic level, anyone in Kiruv, as is true for anyone in anything, needs to have the Aveda Satfila to be blessed with Hatzlacha. But there is a second aspect in which Aveda Satfila is a chelik of Kiruv, and that is, one of the ways we can actually help a person come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by davening for them. Tefillah itself, the Chazon Ish writes, is at least an indirect, very powerful method of Kiruv Rechaikim. One can be mispalel that another Jew be zeicha to do tshuva. The Chazon Ish discusses, isn't that a contradiction to Bechira? Every person has free will. How can I pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help the person or make the person do tshuva? But the Chazon Ish develops a whole idea that since tefillah itself is a maisa of Bechira, I choose to do be mispalel to Hashem, so memela HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to Bechira. Maybe not the Bechira of the person who I want to be makarev, but it is my bechira in choosing to be mispalel. We have many, many maisim, and I'm sure the maisim continue today, but maisim of the altar of Slobodka, who would mamish be yeshev betainis. He would fast so that Bachrim who went off the derech would come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in various ways. This concept of being mispalel is a powerful concept. It's not just a bromide. Sometimes, you know, you hear it almost like a throwaway expression. I've done everything I can do. What's left? Say, be mispalel. That's not what's left. I mean, that is mamish ekayach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu releases in the Bria. We know, today, of course, is the beginning of the 3 weeks, the Tainus of Shiva Zerba Tamas, beginning the most intense period of time when we are misabel over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Tzadok points out, I mentioned this Friday night, Rav Tzadok points out that the Haftiris of the 3 weeks, the Haftira of this coming Shabbos and the one afterwards, and then the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, the first two are from Yirmiyahu, and the last one is from Yeshayahu, the first parak of Yeshayahu. Rav Tzadok points out that the first word of each of those Haftoras gives us a message as to what our avoda is for that week. The first word of the Haftarah of this coming Shabbos is Divrei Yirmiyah, the words of Yirmiyah, and therefore the avoda this week is to be Mesakein Dibor, our speech. The second Haftarah is Shimu Devar Hashem, Kol Beis Yisrael, to be Mesakein our Shemiya. And the third, right before Tisha B'Av, Shabbos Chazayin, Chazayin Yeshayahu, is to be Mesaken Ari'iyah. What we say, what we hear, what we see. But this week in particular, we focus on the power of speech. and what we can do with speech. Speech, of course, is Talmud Torah. Speech, on the other side, is Lashon Hara, which can destroy worlds. And speech is the kayach ha-tfila, the kayach of using our words to be makasher ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is also no accident, Rav Tzadok points out, that Shivas Arba Tamas almost always, and this year as well, falls in the Parsha of Matos. And Matos also exemplifies the kayach of speech. What does Matos talk about? Matos talks about Nidorim, the concept of a vow. What is a vow? An amazing thing. A vow is a godlike creation where a person's kayach hadibor can take something that is mutter and create it into a cheftza of iser. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu normally determines what's mutter and what's aser. Nidorim is the kayach of the mensch to be mahapech, something from heter to iser. And it reminds a person of the enormous godlike power that inheres in our kayach hadibor, bein l'ra, bein l'taif. Mimela, the kayach of tefillah, is going to be mukusher as well, with what we can be payal with our words, both in terms of our interaction to those we want to be makarif, and in terms of our kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which will bring down the siyata d'shmaya. When we think about tefillah, and I'm sure people have heard this over the years, people ask the well-known kasha, the Rishonim ask the kasha, what is a person being mispalo? The Eibishter knows, Hashem knows what is good for you, what you deserve. You'll either get it or Hashem will decide you're not going to get it. How does tefillah work? Is Hashem responding to flattery? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply responding because you're complimenting him, you're building up his ego? Chas v'shalom kav yochel. And the Sefer Ikarim of Yosef Albo explains that tefillah is not about changing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani Hashem lo shinisi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am the unchangeable Almighty, the indivisible unity that never changes. But tefillah is about changing ourselves. Tefillah is self-transformation. Tefillah, when it's done properly, and again, Bava Niseinu Arabim, all of us have trouble with this, but when a tefillah is done properly, I am a different person in my relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if, when I was on a certain madrege here, the hashgacha was geyser, that certain things happened to me, as a result of a tefillah, it is not a mahapecha in the etzem ratzon Hashem, it's a mahapecha in me, so now I'm a different person. So vis-a-vis me, there's a different hashgacha. Rav Hirsch points out that this is implicit in the very grammatical function of the word tefillah. The word, I mean, there are many words for davening, for prayer, but the most common phrase that we use is tefillah, and the verb is lehispalel. Let's examine this grammatically. The shayrish of lehispalel is a shayrish pei lamed lamed. Pei lamed lamed, in its shayrish, does not mean prayer at all. It means judgments. Judges are called in the Torah itself palilim. Palal is a lashon of judgment. That's one thing. Now, lehis palel is in the particular construct that is called reflexive. So in Hebrew, for example, when you wash something, it's lirchotz. When you wash yourself, it's lehisrachetz. Reflexive. In other words, the subject is also the object upon which the subject is acting. Right? This is hispael. So Rav Hirsch points out, if you translate the word lehispalel very literally, it does not mean to pray, but it means to engage in a process of self-reflection and introspection, so that you come to a havana of your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of our dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I say Rofe Chole Amo Yisrael, it isn't simply that I'm asking Hashem for refuah, although of course I'm doing that, but that I come to a recognition that it is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu that can help me. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm helpless. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have nowhere to turn. And these words of tefillah are mashrish within the panemius of my neshama. how dependent I am, how much I need Hashem, how without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ezer, I will not be able to be miskaber over my physical problems, and I certainly will not be able to be miskaber over my Yetzer Hara and achieve the goals of my life. Memela, by engaging in that inner process of judgment and evaluation and introspection, which is what lehispalel literally means. Here, the grammar saves you here. What an insight, just from basic grammar. I'm now different. If I'm now different, the hashkacha by which Hashem deals with me is a different, not because Hashem changes. As Rav Yosef Albo says, I'm a different person. I was Reuven, now I'm Reuven X. Reuven X, there was no Gezerah in Reuven X. The Gezerah was on Reuven. Different person, different situation, different matzav. Hashem doesn't change. I change. The matzav changes. Memela the hashgacha changes. But because of this, Rav Tzadok says, there is something even deeper. One of the questions that you will be asked, but the truth is, we have the question ourselves. It reminds me, somebody once went over to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Great gadol and an amazing pikeach. And said to Rav Yaakov, what do I say when people ask me why Hashem allowed the Holocaust to happen? Like, what answer do I give them? So Rav Yaakov said to him, oh, in other words, you don't have a problem. In other words, you don't need an answer for yourself. It's just, what do I say to them? The truth of the matter is, these questions that other people, whoever the other people ask us, are questions we have too. And people ask the question, what's the purpose of davening if Hashem, you know, doesn't answer? So many times we pray and we don't seem to get the answer. Of course, very often we do, Baruch Hashem, we do get an answer, but often we pray for the sick and the chayla dies. And what's the point? People lose emunah sometimes over these very, very serious issues. Of course, we have the famous vort of the Panovich Rav, which is so true. The Panovich Rav says when, in Yiddish, when somebody asked him, Farvus er entfert nisht, why does Hashem answer no? So he says, you're putting the comma in the wrong place. Er entfert, comma, nisht. He answers no. Instead of saying, why does Hashem not answer me? Hashem always answers us. Sometimes the answer is no. And Rav Tzadok is masber this. Rav Tzadok says, if we understand that the goal of tefillah inherently is not a question of getting what you want, but it's a notion of transforming my panemius so I am mekusher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that I realize that every part of my hatzlacha is only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then fakir, even if I don't get what I want, or I don't get what specifically I was thinking of, the Ishkashras itself is the Anias HaTfila. And we have to remember, Hashem answers tefillos in many ways. When the answer is no, and I don't get the particular thing I was mispalo for, but if I get the courage and the optimism and the resilience to get up the next morning and face my life and go ahead and do no matter how difficult things are, who do you think gave us that koach? Isn't that also an answer? If after the Holocaust, which obviously I'm not going to get into, Befrat, Yidden got married again, and they went and they established families and they rebuilt their lives, and they came to Eretz Yisrael and rebuilt and built up Eretz Yisrael, even though they lost everything. Is that not also HaKadosh Baruch Hu answering tefillos in a different way, to give a person the kayach to go on and not be broken and not be destroyed and not be disheartened and not give up? That's also HaKadosh Baruch Hu answering tefillos. Why it's answered in this way and not in this way? Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu. We don't know. But to say Hashem just ignores is ignoring the reality of human resilience and the spirit of Am Yisrael that continues to persevere in spite of the fact that for thousands of years people have tried to destroy us. People still want to destroy us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. And this is really the pshat in a well-known Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that why were the Imaos Akares? Why were the Imaos barren? They were such righteous people. And the Gemara Yavama says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misave litfilasan shel tzadikim. Hashem yearns for the prayers of tzadikim. Hashem created the obstacles in order that they would be mispala. Now think about this. We normally perceive of this in exactly the opposite. We think, because I have problems, that's why I have to daven. It's exactly the opposite. You have to daven because you have to daven. You have to be connected to Hashem. But Nebuch, if things are perfect, we sometimes don't realize that. So Hashem creates needs. So we'll be makir, the ultimate need of tefillah. It's not that because I have needs, that is why I'm mispalo. It is fakert. Hashem creates the needs, so we will turn to Him b'tefillah. And that is why the Chiddush Yerim writes that sometimes if a person goes through life and thinks he has no needs, that is a sign of rejection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a famous word. The Nachash was cursed after the chait of Adam and Chava. Be'ofar teichal kol yemei chayecha. You will eat dirt all the days of your life. So frek the Chiddush Yerim. What type of curse? Plenty of dirt. You'll never have to look for food. Zok the Chiddush Yerim. That's the whole point. Hashem is telling the Nachash, I'll give you everything you want. Just don't bother me. I don't want you to come to be mispalo. I don't want your tefillas. They tell a story, and I understand it may be a true story, about a teenage kid, a 16-year-old kid, whose father was very well off, and he had lost his mother. And when the father got remarried, unfortunately, there was kind of a horror story where the stepmother did not get along with the child at all, and she could not live in the same house. So the story goes that the father called the kid over. He gave him a credit card. He gave him $20,000. He rented an apartment for him and gave him a car and said, you can have everything you want, but I can't see you again. You know, you live separately. That's the Nachash, the concept of Hashem sometimes doesn't want tefillas of the Nachash, whatever the human analog would be. So the Emes says when a person has needs in their lives, it is sometimes a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we will turn to Him with this gift of tefillah. Now there's a Gemara in Makkos, many of you learned. I want to share with you two Gemaras, one in Makkos and one in Kedushin, on this Kayach of tefillah and what it means. The first is the Gemara in Makkos. The Mishnah says, we know that if somebody kills B'shaygeg, they go to the Ir Miklat, and they remain in the Ir Miklat until the death of the Kohen Gadol. So because of this, it says that the mothers of Kohanim Gedolim used to bring food packages to the Reitzchim in the Ir Miklat, in order that the Reitzchim in the Ir Miklat shouldn't be mispalel that their son would die, because they know as soon as their son dies, the Reitzach goes free. So they would bribe him with matanis. So the Bavli and the Yerushalmi both ask the same kasha, but they give two different terutzim. The Bavli asked the kasha, the implication would be that if the Reitzchim would pray for the death of the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol might die. How could that be? Is there not a rule that kilolas chinam leisavai, an undeserved curse, should not come to fruition? Right? So why would their prayer be effective? Machlekes Bavli and Yerushalmi, what the answer of that question is. The Bavli's answer is that the Kohen Gadol is not an innocent party. And if the Kohen Gadol would be cursed, he would be deserving of that curse. And the reason is because the Kohen Gadol, as the spiritual manhig of Klal Yisrael, should have prayed for his generation that there would not be Averos, there would not be Ritzicha. Again, this ties in with the Chazon Ish's idea that you could be mispalel, because remember, even though people have Bechira, but remember that the Ritzicha of Ir Miklat is not a pure accident. It comes from negligence. It comes from carelessness. And the Kohen Gadol could have been mispalo, that there wouldn't be that carelessness. So the Bavli says, the failure of the Kohen Gadol to be mispalel for the Averus of the door. Make the Kohen Gadol Chayev Misa, and therefore he's vulnerable to the curses of the Reitzchim who needed to be bribed. By the way, the Bali Musar point out that even the bribe is interesting, because just because they got the bribe, who says they still wouldn't be mispalel? Why would a food package make a difference? So the Bali Musar might want to say, Avada, the Reitzchim are still going to be mispalel, but they're not going to do it b'lev shalem. Since they got a little bit of a favor, it's not going to be with the same hislavus, and when the tefillah is not b'lev shalem, that's already a pagam in the tefillah. The Yerushalmi asked the same kasha. How could their prayers against the Kohen Gadol be effective? The Kohen Gadol is an innocent party. So the Yerushalmi does not say the Kohen Gadol is chayev for the sins of the generation, but it says tefillah is different than klala. If you curse an innocent guy, nothing happens. If you're mispalel, the kayach of tefillah, chas v'shalom, could even be ma'orer, a kitruk, against an innocent person. This is what the Yerushalmi says. This is how vite, this is how powerful the kayach of tefillah is. It could even bring down punishment on one who is undeserving, kal v'chomer, because the midah of taiva of Hashem is so much greater that it will bring bracha to those, even if they're not deserving of it. So that's the Gemara in Makkos. The second Gemara I want to share with you is a Gemara in Kedushin on Chavtes Amid Aleph and a comment of the Marsha there. The Gemara recounts that there was a certain seven-headed demon that was frequenting a certain dira. People were afraid to go there because there was this awesome demon. I'm not going to be nichnas into the machlokes. Are there shadim? Are there not? As you know, the Rambam felt that all references to Chazal to shadim were really a mashal, and there was no such thing. The Vilna Gaon writes in the Bir Hagra that avada there are shadim. Chazal said that, and the Rambam was led astray by Philosophia Ha'arura, his accursed preoccupation with rationalistic Greek philosophy. Somebody once asked the Kutzker Rebbe, what's the halacha like, and how come we don't see shadim? The Kutzker Rebbe said, avada there are shadim, because the Chazal say it, but once the Rambam paskin, there's no such thing as shadim. Out of respect to the Rambam, the shadim disappear. This is what the Kutzker Rebbe made a pshara between the two shitas, Chavad HaRambam. The Gemara gives us the story that everybody was afraid. So a certain tzaddik gets to town who has a baal tefillah. So Abaya said, hey, let everybody deny this person lodging and tell him this is the only place he could sleep, and don't tell him what's there. And we're batuach that he'll be menetzeach over the shade. So he gets there, he sleeps there, and the shade attacks him, and through the kayach of a tefillah, he gradually cuts off one head after another till the shade is dead and everything is safe. The person goes to Abaya and says, how could you put me in a makam sakana? And Abaya says, I was so batuach in your kayach ha-tefillah that I knew that for you there was no sakana. So frek the Marsha the following. The Marsha asks Akasha, even if Abaya was batuach, and how could you ever be batuach, but even if Abaya was so batuach that because of the kayach ha-tefillah he would be zeichet to a nes, it is never proper to put somebody in a matzav where they'll be saved through maisa nisim, because Chazal say, maisa nisim take away your zechuyos in olam haba. So Abaya didn't do the person a favor. Abaya put the person in a matzav knowing the person would be nitzel b'derech nes. But Menachem lo mischu Yosef, you took away some of his olam haba by giving him nisim. Zakta marsha, when a person is nitzel through the kayach ha-tefillah, ein zu maisa nisim. This is not in the getter of maisa nisim, because the teva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world is tefillah, is payel Yeshua. Tefillah creates salvation, and therefore, now granted, and normally I can't put anybody in that matzah because I'm not sure they'll be saved, but once I'm batuach that the person's tefillahs are going to be answered, it's not a chisaron of my sinism. It's actually reminiscent of a famous story, it might be apocryphal, of the Gera Rebbe, the Imre Emes, and Churchill. Again, it may not be true, in which after the Gera Rebbe was smuggled out of Poland, the legend goes that there was a meeting with Churchill, and this is during the Battle of Britain, when England, and London in particular, is being bombed, Yaimam Valaila. and there was a real suffolk if they would be able to survive the Nazi onslaughts. And Churchill heard that this was a holy person. He wanted to know, how can we achieve victory? So the Gerei Rebbe says, do you want to know how you could achieve it miraculously or how you could achieve it naturally? He says, well, tell me both. Okay. The miracle would be you would get your army and your air force and your navy together and you would develop the manpower and the firepower to defeat the Nazis. That would have to be a miracle. He says, the natural way is we sit and we say Tehillim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the Yeshua. That'll be the natural way of winning. To fight with your army would already be would be a miracle. So this is the idea of tefillah, to be payel, to be payel. Again, I'm not sure if the story is true, but it is reported in a number of sources. But I want to share with you one final thought from Rav Tzadok about tefillah, and I think it's nogeya to this time of year, but it's nogeya every day of the year, and it's a machshava that I think can help us have a bit more kavana in our avodah shebelev. We know that we have three tefillahs. We have Shachris, we have Mincha, and we have Ma'ariv. And there is a machlokes in the Gemara, is the origin of the three tefillahs because of the Avos. Avraham did Shachris, Yitzchak enacted Mincha, Yaakov Ma'ariv. Or do the tefillahs correspond to the sacrificial cycle in the Beis HaMikdash of the Korban Tamid of the morning and the afternoon, and then the leftover fats that were burnt at night? The Rambam does paskin that the tefillos were takanas of the avos. He does say in both Hilchos Melachim and Hilchos Tefillah that Avraham was mesaken that Jews should daven, that his children should daven shachris. Of course, not the nusach. The nusach, of course, is much later. But the concept of a tefillah in the morning is Avraham, a tefillah in the afternoon is Yitzchak, a tefillah at night is Yaakov. Now, there's another machlekes in the Gemara between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua, if the Shemona Esrei, not the Kriya Shema, that's clearly Deoraisa, but is the Shemona Esrei, or the Tefillah of Ma'ariv, a Chiyuv? Is it an obligation? Or is it optional? Now, let me hasten to add, Avada, all the Paiskim say that even if it was originally optional, by now it's become a minog that we are Mechuyiv to do, so nobody can skip Ma'ariv in Achinami, but at least originally, it was a Rishus. Now, the question is the following. We can understand the Shita of Rishus if you look at the Tfilos because of the Korbanos. Because at night there was no obligatory Korban. It's only if there were leftover things. But L'chayre, if I hold the Tfilos are the Avos, then how could Ma'ariv be Rishus? Why would Yaakov's Tfilah be inferior? And yet, Rav Tzadok points out, there is a Stira in the Piskei HaRambam. Because the Rambam paskins that the Tfilos are because of the Avos. And yet the Rambam paskins, like the Man D'Amar, that Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus and not a Chayva. How can you paskin both ways? Why should Yaakov Avinu's prayer, Yaakov is the Bechir Shebi Avos, the choicest of the Avos, why would Yaakov Avinu's prayer be inferior to the prayer of Avraham and Yitzchak? So Rav Tzadok says the following idea. Rav Tzadok says that each tefillah, even though it's the same words, is designed to evoke a special emotional mood and a special way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The prayer of the morning, which ideally would be said kvasikin, as the sun is rising, that's the ideal time, is a time of hope. Morning is a time of hope, gratitude, optimism. A new day, right? Even the birds singing is kind of calling you. There's a new day with new opportunities. Whatever I did wrong the day before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me a new chance. Maida ani, I am grateful to the Almighty that He has given me back my neshama, bechemla, with graciousness. So Shachris, Rav Tzadok says, the dominant mood of Shachris is gratitude, hakaras atov, and hope for the opportunities that Hashem has given us in this new day. That tefillah has a special shaychus to Avraham Avinu. Because in Avraham Avinu's life, at least towards the end, when he had passed the Asara Nisyanus, he had seen all of the brachos of Hashem mekuyim. He was zocha to a child, Yitzchak, at the age of 100. Even Yishmael, Chazal say, did tshuva in Avraham's lifetime. And the other way around, Esav, the Enoko, did not become a Rasha openly till Avram died. So Avram saw everything. Yes, he lost his beloved Sarah, but she was 127. I mean, things have to happen at some point. So Avram Avinu was admired. He was respected. He had a tremendous hashpa in the world in terms of all the gerim that he made. Nesi Elokim Ata B'Secheinu, you are a prince of God. So Avram's teva is shayach to the prayer of Shachris, which is one of optimism, hope, and gratitude. Mincha, although we daven Mincha a little early, but ideally, according to the Yerushalmi at least, Mincha is davened before Shkia, but as you have the lengthening shadows of the day. And therefore Mincha, the dominant emotion of Mincha, is panic and fear that things are slipping away. Night is falling, although it's still light outside. That has a special shaychus to Yitzchak. Remember that the 400 years of Golos begin from the birth of Yitzchak. Aye, how could that be? Yitzchak was in Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael. But the answer is, already in Yitzchak's time, he began to feel like a ger, like a stranger, like he didn't belong. Petty harassment, the Polishtim were filling up the wells. I mean, I think of the situation of the Jews in Germany in the early 1930s, shortly after Hitler got to power, but before there were concentration camps. All sorts of signs, you're not really welcome here, this is not your place, this is not your home. Even time-wise, Mincha is the prayer of panic. You know, especially if a person, I know in America, this is Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, less so. But, you know, you're always stuck. You got to daven Mincha. So, you know, Shachris, you can daven before you go out of the house, and Maariv when you get back. Mincha, you're stuck. You're in a phone booth. Now they don't have phone booths anymore. You know, all sorts of problems, right? Mincha is the prayer of panic. And that's connected to Yitzchak, in which the person says, Hashem, I'm losing things. I'm so afraid. Things are slipping away. Let me hold on to the light a little bit more. Ah. But now we come to Maariv. Maariv is when it's already totally dark. Maariv is no longer the prayer of thank you, Hashem, for all the chesed that I see. And it's not even the panic, I'm afraid I'm losing it. Maariv is when you hit bottom. Maariv is when you've lost everything. Maariv is when there doesn't seem to be light at the end of the tunnel at all. Maariv is the prayer of Emunah, that when everything seems to be gone, you hold on to Emunah. This is the Madrega of Yaakov Avinu. Because when did Yaakov Avinu misaken Maariv? He's running away from Eretz Yisrael. His brother Esav wants to kill him. Now Yaakov has the vision of the ladder, but that's after he davened Maariv, when the sun sets prematurely. Yaakov is 63 years old, according to Rashi's Cheshbon. He has no shidduch, no marriage partner. He has no assets, no property. He thinks he'll never see his father again, although Lamaisa he does. He will never see his mother again. He's leaving the frying pan of Eretz Yisrael, which has the physical sakanas of Esav, and he's going to an environment of Lavan where he's very, very frightened that spiritually he will not be able to make it. Tremendous pachat of leaving the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, leaving the Kedusha of the Avais. And he has nothing, and he has no prospect of a future. But the prayer of Emunah says, even if there's nothing in my life that I can see, I turn to Hashem b'emunah. Rav Tzadok says the following idea. The reason why Maariv is optional is not because it's a less important prayer, but because it represents such a high madrega that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to aspire to it, but it can't yet become a chiyuv. Hakaras atoy for the toiva of Hashem, Shachris, that's obvious. The Navi Yeshaya says, Yada shor kaineyu, even the ox appreciates the hand that feeds it. Basic human decency is you're grateful for toiva. The prayer of panic when things are slipping away, you've all heard of the saying, no atheists in a foxhole. Yeah, when I'm in the foxhole and the bombs are bursting, even the kaifer turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Shachris and Mincha are madregos every person automatically has to connect to. But Maariv, the level of Emunah, of turning to Hashem, even when you've hit bottom, Even when all the roads are closed, even when there's no hope, even when there's no Yeshua you can see, b'derech hateva. That's a deep, deep madrega of the Bechir Shebiyavais. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, be mishtadel, try in our lives to reach that madrega. It's not yet a chiv, because not everybody could reach such a madrega. And this is the meaning of the pasuk, lahagid babaker chastecha, in the morning of life, I can declare the chesed of Hashem. But in the dark, dark corners, emunascha, I have emuna in Hashem. And that too is the greatest type of tefillah, the tefillah of emuna. This period of the year is indeed the zaman of chayshech, the zaman of hester panim. And once again, is this important in Kirov? Of course it is, because a person wants to know, why do I daven? What's the purpose of davening? What does davening accomplish? And the answer is, what it accomplishes is primarily what it changes in us. We become different. We become spiritual. We become holy. We become mekusher to Hashem, that in turn gives us the strength to meet all challenges. So yes, prayer is important in our kirev rechaikin. But most important, prayer is important for what it does for us. Because, as the salesman used to say, you can't sell what you want, what you don't buy. It's an old salesman saying. Only when we ourselves tap into this kayach of tefillah and take tefillah seriously and understand the essential aspect of how this tefillah is so necessary for our lives, will we then be able to teach others about that kayach as well. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us this chus, that he should always be shomea to our tefillahs.